This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
Here is the title of this morning's message: Grace Secures the Promise. You know, God in His Word has made so many promises, and there's over 7,000 of them. So we can pick literally any subject, any topic, anything that we go through in life, and you will see that God has promises for that situation, for that condition, for that challenge, for whatever is going on, for that need, whatever it may be. God has wonderful promises. And one thing we don't want to do is quit believing that those promises will come to pass. Quit believing that God will fulfill them in our lives. And so this is what I want to speak to you about today, because sometimes we go through things in life and, you know, we kind of wonder about the promises of God. He's made this promise, He's made that promise, but why don't I see it happening in my life? Well, I believe that this will encourage you. This will address perhaps things that you've been talking about, you've been questioning yourself about, or questioning God about. I believe that this is going to help you settle that. But more than anything, this is also a reminder for us to understand and realize that grace, the wonderful grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, that's grace, that's how you define it. The unmerited favor of God secures the promise of God. Amen. And you know, sometimes we know that in concept, but we forget what it looks like in practice. And so this is what I want to remind us about today. Now, when we think about God's promises, He didn't make those promises, all of those promises. He doesn't make promises because we earn them or we deserve them. He makes promises because He is gracious. That's why He makes promises. He doesn't have to make promises. He doesn't have to even bring promises into the picture. But He does it because He wants us to understand how committed He is to us. But more than anything, it's because He is gracious. At times when His promises come to pass in our lives, we know that we haven't done anything to deserve them. In actual fact, at times when we are at our worst, something comes to pass and we think, you know, I really didn't deserve that, I didn't earn it. So praise God that He's gracious. And we have to remember always that that's the reason why God makes promises, because He is gracious. He is gracious to us. Amen. And so today we are going to see how grace, not merit or performance, but grace, secures the promises of God in our lives. The more solidified you are in the grace of God, in other words, the unmerited favor of God, the more confidence you will have and the more you will see the promises of God manifest in your life. When we look at Scripture, we look at so many different accounts, so many different people and all the things they've done. One thing is clear all the way across. When people rely on the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, in other words, they don't look at their merit, they don't look at their performance, they don't look at their religiosity, they don't look at their law keeping, they just simply look at the grace of God. That's when we see the wonderful hand of God, the wonderful presence of God, the wonderful provision of God move in their lives. Amen. And that's what we want to remind ourselves of today. Now, of course, what a better person or what a better life to look at than Abraham's life in the Bible, because God made him really big promises. He made him some powerful, awesome promises. And so let's have a look at that. We're going to look at some of that and see how it relates to us as we go on in reminding ourselves of how grace secures the promises of God. Let's begin by looking at Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And we're reading from the New Living Translation mostly this morning. God says here to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I mean, wouldn't you like God to make you a personal promise like that, where he says that he's going to make you great, he's going to make you famous, and he's going to cause you to be a blessing to other people? That sounds good, doesn't it? And that's what he says to Abraham. Then he says to him, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. You see, as a believer, you have to understand that this still stands. And I'm going to dig into it a little bit more in a moment. But what a powerful promise. God says to Abraham, if anyone blesses you, I'll bless them too. And if they curse you, they're going to experience the curse themselves. I mean, that's pretty heavy duty stuff. He says then, all the families on earth, in other words, throughout the existence of the earth, will be blessed through you. And of course, we know that he's referring to Jesus and redemption in Jesus here as well, because all families of the earth, when they receive salvation in Jesus, they are indeed blessed, no matter who they are or where they are. So that right there, we see some very powerful promises made by God to Abraham. And that's not all. If we jump over to chapter 13 and verse 14 and 15, God continues to express the promises that he makes to Abraham. Watch this, verse 14 of Genesis 13. It says there, after Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abraham, look, as far as you can see, in every direction, north and south, east and west, I am giving you all this land as far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And of course, he's talking about the promised land there. But it's interesting how God says, look in every direction, no matter where you turn, as far as you can see, I'm giving that to you. What a powerful promise. Amen. Imagine if that happened today. Regardless of lawsuits and land-owned claims and this and that, when God says it, that's it, it's done. And we know that. Then, as if that wasn't enough, God makes even more powerful promises to Abraham. We jump to chapter 17 now and look at verse 4 and 6. Watch this. He says, this is my covenant with you. In other words, now God is making a contract, a promise solidified with a covenant. I mean, this is heavy duty stuff. He says, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham. For you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. So far, we have read three different portions where God makes some very, very powerful promises to Abraham. Amen. And they are, I mean, just imagine if God himself, God Almighty, made those promises to you, where he said, you will be great, you will be famous, you will be a blessing to others. Anyone who blesses you, I'll bless. Anyone who curses you, I will curse. Everyone in the earth will be blessed because of you. And wherever you look around you, it's all land that I'm giving to you. And then he says, I'm not just that, but I'm making a covenant with you. You are going to be the patriarch or the matriarch of so many nations. And I'm going to change your name. And the reason why he changed his name was because of what he was to become. And this is for a different time, for another message. But when God changed Abraham and Sarah's names, what he actually did in the Hebrew is he added the word for grace into their names. So Sarah was Sarai, and he changed her name and put grace in there. Abraham was Abram, but he put Abraham in there, which is the word for grace. So, you know, that's something that is just so powerful, which I will teach on one day. But that's in essence what God did. He basically put grace into their name, into their lives, so that they would speak it every time they call their names, and they would see these wonderful promises be fulfilled in their lives. It's powerful stuff, praise God. And so these are blessings, or should I say, these are promises of blessing and prosperity that God made to Abraham. Amen. These are promises of greatness and fruitfulness that God made to Abraham. Praise God. Now, what is interesting is that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, Paul the Apostle tells us that these promises that we've just read about, these promises that God made to Abraham, Paul in Galatians 3:29 tells us that those exact promises, those very promises that God made to Abraham are also ours. Look at this, Galatians 3 verse 29. It says, and now that you belong to Christ, so it's talking about those who receive salvation in Jesus, believers in other words, and now that you belong to Christ, watch this, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. In other words, you inherit what Abraham had. And, watch this, God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So the overall promise that God made to Abraham belongs to the believer in Jesus. Because in Jesus, the believer becomes a descendant of Abraham. Do you see that? And as a descendant of Abraham, you become an heir of Abraham. And it says there right clearly that the promise that God made to Abraham is then now also yours. You see, this is where, and I remember as a young Christian, when I first heard and read this, I thought to myself, how can it be? How can it be that God, that those promises at least, can be mine too? I mean, there's only so much land. There's only so much of this. There are so many places on earth still unoccupied. And our population is increased into the billions, right? But regardless of the semantics, regardless of the specifics, what God really conveyed to Abraham is that my intention is for you to be blessed because you believe in me, because you've chosen to take me at my word. And you see, this is what I believe God is saying to us through Galatians 3:29. This is what he is reminding us of, that yes, the promises that he made to Abraham are also for the believer. Those promises are also for you. So it behooves us to embrace those promises, to believe those promises, to expect those promises to happen, and to just patiently wait on the Lord, just patiently watch and see what he does. Right? Now, when you look at when God made those promises to Abraham, Abraham didn't do anything to earn or deserve them. All he did was trust God. All he did was believe God. And all he did was walk with confidence, knowing and believing that God would do it. And you see, this is what we are called to do today. And I'm speaking to myself here too, because we need some more of those promises fulfilled in our lives. Amen. And this is what God is saying to us and reminding us of today. The promises, those wonderful, powerful promises that I just showed you, God made to Abraham, he also makes to you. They are promises that are made to you as well. My question is, do you believe it? And I don't mean that just intellectually. I mean it in your heart of hearts, deep down on the inside of you. Do you believe that those promises are for you? You see, if you don't, it's not because God is the problem. It's the fact that we need to change our thinking. We need to change what we believe. We need to change what we expect on the inside of us. Amen. Good things come to those who expect them. We have to change what we believe. As we believe in our hearts, that's how we will see things happen. So the sooner we embrace the fact that the promises that God made to Abraham are also promises to me. That overall promise is mine because I'm in Jesus. And I just read in Galatians 3:29 where it says that because I've received salvation in Jesus, I now become a true child of Abraham, and I inherit what was promised to him, and the promise of God belongs to me. Amen. You've got to believe that. Now, it's interesting though how in Romans 4:13, what Paul actually does is he connects this promise that God makes to Abraham to something greater than land or physical descendants. What Paul does is he actually connects it to something far greater. Remember what God said to Abraham, wherever you see, it's yours. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make you a blessing. Anyone who comes against you, I'm going to take care of them, right? And he says, you are going, all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And so we've just seen that those promises are also ours. But what Paul is about to do, and what I'm about to show you in Romans 4:13, is that he connects that promise to something even greater than that. So the promise that you and I have is not just, we don't just get to inherit what God promised Abraham, but we also receive something on top of that far greater because of Jesus. Let me show you. Romans 4:13. Watch what it says. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham, because that's in essence what God did, and his descendants, now you know that that's you as well, was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. Now we're going to discuss the second part in a moment. What I want to focus on is the part that I've emboldened and put in a different color there. It says that clearly God's promise to give the whole earth. Now I looked at that word earth in the original, and it's actually the Greek word kosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S. And that word kosmos in the Greek doesn't actually just refer to the earth. It actually refers to the entire universe. Everything that God has created that we see, that we know is there. That's what it's talking about. It's a word used to refer to all that God is and all that God has. You see, this is why it's far greater. Why? Because when we receive salvation in Jesus, not only do we receive the promises made to Abraham for us to succeed and be prosperous and blessed here on the earth, but also once having received salvation in Jesus, we receive the greater part of that promise, which is the whole universe and all that God is and all that God has. Isn't that powerful? I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And this is why we need to teach on this. This is why we need to embrace this. We need to receive it with our heart. We need to solidify it in our heart. And no matter how it doesn't make sense to the rational mind, to the skeptic, to the intellectual, we just got to believe and trust God like Abraham did. Amen. So what really Paul was saying too, as we've just read in Romans 4:13, is that our inheritance is far greater than land, than people, than fame, than blessing, than cursing, than all of that. It is all of creation. Is someone hearing me today? And in case you doubt that, let me show you. Because he actually clarified that in the book of Corinthians. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. It says, so don't boast about following a particular human leader. In other words, don't put your focus on that. Put your focus on God himself, right? Today we have so many people that label themselves apostle, label themselves, you know, pastor this, pastor that, bishop this, or father, or whatever else. And yet here, Paul tells us he's one of the greatest apostles that has ever lived. And he says, don't boast about following a specific human person. See that? Then he says, and this is what I want to focus on. For everything, what does everything mean? Does it mean some things? No. Does it mean only specific things? No. Everything is everything, right? He says, for everything belongs to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Peter, or the world or life and death, or the present and the future. Everything, look at that, everything belongs to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. So the point that I want to highlight here, which is in relation to our message today, is that Paul the Apostle basically backs up what I just said before that, which is that what he does with the promises God makes to Abraham is he takes them one level higher, and he says it's talking about the actual whole entire universe, all of God's creation, all that God is and all that God has. Amen. So right there, you've seen a backup of that. Everything belongs to you. So you are here on earth. Not just people may have told you you're here by mistake. You may feel like you're here by mistake. But God has a greater plan. He has a greater purpose. Amen. And one of those is for you to prosper here on earth, to be blessed here on earth, to enjoy the promises that he made to Abraham and then amped it up, took it one place higher, which is to say the entire universe, all that I've created is yours in Christ Jesus. Amen. I mean, I know that sometimes it sounds superfluous to say things like that. It just sounds way out, just crazy. And some people, you know, will say, oh, you're just saying that to encourage us. You're just saying that because it just sounds so good, you know, just to get us amped up and pumped up. Well, I wish that were the case, and I hope that's happening. But regardless of that, look at the actual intent, motive, and the heart of what I've just shared with you. That is actually God's heart. Now, you may say, well, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, religion has taught me otherwise. People who mix law and grace and teach it that way, they've said different things. I hear different people saying, I have to earn it, I have to deserve it. Well, this is why Paul said, don't follow a human leader. Either you are going to believe what his word says, or you're not. And we have to believe it today. We need to completely embrace it, because that is God's word above any other person or any other system or religion. Amen. God's desire and heart is for you to be blessed. In other words, what Paul is also saying in that is that we need to have great confidence. We need to have big expectations. And that's what I want to reignite here today. This is what I want to throw fuel in the fire, if I can put it that way, is I want to reignite your expectation. I want to reignite your confidence and your passion for the blessing and the favor of God. Because sometimes life can slap just throw a few slaps in and push us down and crush us down and make us think that we're just an old beaten dog that just barely needs to survive. And I'm telling you right now, God's heart is for us to prosper, to rise up, to be blessed and enjoy the promises that he's made. Amen. And I don't know if you've noticed, but God didn't give Abraham conditions. He didn't say, if you do this, if you don't do that, if you avoid this. Now, I'm not saying we should engage in those things, but God's promises were made by grace because he's gracious. Amen. So we need to believe and trust God for so much more than we have and where we are today. And that's what I want to encourage and ignite on the inside of you today. Let's believe God for more. Let's trust him for more. Because honestly and truly, with everything that I've shared with you so far, we're entitled to it. We can expect it and we can have it. Amen. Praise God. Now, Paul also highlights one very important point about receiving the promises of God. You know, we just read from Romans 4 verse 13, but if you read verse 14 with it and then jump to the first part of verse 16, you will actually see that he pointed out one very other important aspect, which I said we'll discuss in a bit, and so we're going to do that now, which was the second part of that verse. So let's read this portion again, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Romans 4:13, 14, and then 16a. It's all on the screen, okay? He says, God promised Abraham and his descendants, in other words, that's you, that they would have an heir, talking about Jesus, who would reign over the world. So through Jesus is how we reign over the entire cosmos, okay? He says, this royal promise, so it wasn't just a promise, this was a royal promise, was not fulfilled because Abraham kept all the law. There it is. But through the righteousness that was transferred by faith. It says there that promise that God made, and it's called a royal promise because it's so powerful and so awesome. It says there that it wasn't fulfilled in Abraham's life because he kept the law of God. In other words, he didn't take the Ten Commandments and the 603 additional commandments around it, which are all found in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. And he didn't say, okay, Abraham, I think you're obeying these ones. You've done most of it. Abraham, I give you 95% on following my law. So I think I'm satisfied with it. And now I'm going to fulfill my promise and bless you. That's not what it says. That's not what he did. When God made those promises, it wasn't on the basis of Abraham's law keeping. So do we disregard the law? No. Do we reject the law? No. We embrace the law for the reasons God gave the law. And he predominantly gave his law to show us our need for grace and for redemption in Jesus. Not to get right standing with God, because we never could. Think about this. If you could achieve right standing with God, you would not need Jesus. If you could achieve holiness before God by your own merits and performance, you wouldn't need Jesus. If you could achieve salvation by what you do and what you don't do, what you avoid and what you engage in that supposedly pleases God, then you wouldn't need Jesus, right? But it's because we cannot achieve those things. We cannot fulfill and satisfy the law of God, which is a perfect law. And as imperfect people, we can never satisfy a perfect standard. Because we could not, God gave us grace. God gave us mercy. Amen. And this is what this is saying. God's promises were not fulfilled in Abraham's life because he satisfied the law. Because he satisfied and lived by the Ten Commandments. That's not what it's saying at all. Because it's impossible to fulfill and live by the Ten Commandments. In James, it actually says, if you break one of the laws, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. It's impossible. The people of Israel in Moses' time, they couldn't live up to the law, and they suffered the consequence of trying to do it, right? So it's impossible. And this is why it says here, this royal promise is not fulfilled because Abraham kept the law. So it's not fulfilled because we keep the law. So if we're trying to earn and deserve the promise, the fulfillment of the promise, we're actually working against God's intended purpose. Amen. Then it goes on and it says there, so let's carry on reading verse 14. It says, for if keeping the law earns the inheritance, see, there it is, then faith is robbed of its power and the promise becomes useless. In other words, if people could earn or deserve the promises God made to Abraham, then they wouldn't need faith. There would be no need for faith. There would be no need for grace. There would be no need for promise. Because if they can achieve it, then that's it. It settles it. Then it says in verse 16, no, the promise, it says, depends on faith. In other words, on believing. So that it can be experienced as a grace gift. See that? Not as a reward for what you have, what you've done or you haven't done, but as a grace gift. And now it extends to all the descendants of Abraham. And who are they? All those who believe in Jesus. So that's you, right? So right there, very clearly, it tells you that the wonderful promises, the wonderful promise God made to Abraham of blessing, of prosperity, of greatness, of fruitfulness, they don't come to us because we earn or deserve them. They come to us by grace and grace alone. Just like Abraham embraced the promises without having to earn or deserve them, and God fulfilled it in his life, he's saying, that is how I fulfill the promises in your life. You see, I think sometimes way too much religious and legalistic teaching has clouded us from seeing this and realizing this and understanding that the basis of God's blessing and favor is not our merit and performance, but his gracious heart and his grace alone. Amen. So by believing and trusting in God is how we embrace these promises. And so the moment we place our merit and our performance in the picture, what we do is we hinder the promises of God from being fulfilled in our lives. You see, when you need a touch of healing, if you begin to assess yourself and do an introspective assessment, it's like, you know, do I deserve the promise? Have I really been good? Have I been pleasing God? Have I prayed this week? Have I been, you know, tithing and giving? Have I been doing this? Have I been doing that? The moment we start evaluating our performance and our merit in order or with the intent to see if we qualify for God's blessing and favor, we've disqualified ourselves. Because that's not the way Abraham received it, and that's not the way we receive it. We receive it by grace and grace alone. We don't earn it. We cannot deserve it. It's impossible. But God gives it to us because of Jesus. Amen. And that's the best way for us to receive and expect the promises to happen in our lives. Praise God. So just like God's law played no part in Abraham's life when he received the promise, it should play no part in our lives when we receive the promise. Amen. I mean, the law wasn't even there when God made these promises to Abraham. The law was only introduced. It only came 430 years later. So if you were to say to Abraham, you know, are you fulfilling God's law? He would look at you like you've come out of some weird planet, because he didn't even know there was such a thing. In his lifetime, he never heard of the law of God. He didn't know what the law of God was. And so he received the promises of God. And this is how God wants us to receive the promises of God. Amen. So just like it played no part in Abraham's life, it should play no part in your life. Now, am I saying that we should reject it and just kick it out? And we are one of those people that are called antinomians, which means anti the law and hater of the law of God? No. We embrace the law for the reasons God gave the law. But I'm telling you gospel truth right here, because that's what Abraham did, and that's what God did with him. Amen. Praise God. And so this was Paul's main point. What I just said is that God's law played no part in Abraham's life when he received the promise. And so the law should play no part in our lives when we receive the promise. In other words, we shouldn't be using the law of God. We shouldn't be using the 613 commandments as the standard to determine if we qualify for the promises of God. And see, this is the mistake that so often people make because of the way they are taught incorrectly, because of the way they interpret Scripture incorrectly. They think that they have to earn or deserve the promises of God. And I'm telling you right now, you don't. Grace secures the promises of God. Amen. And that's what we need to hold on to. And so that was Paul's main point. Let me show you this in Romans 11, verse 6, from the Passion Translation this time. Watch this. It says, and since it is by God's grace, okay, it can't be a matter of their good works. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift of grace, but earned by human effort. In other words, if you are going to receive the promises by grace, to really call it grace, you can't put your merit and performance in it. You have to take it out. In other words, your law keeping is not going to matter. Your commandment keeping is not going to matter. And I'm not saying we should just be the other way either. Of course, you understand that. But what he's saying here is that God's promises are not based on our merit and performance. Amen. They are based on grace and grace alone. This is why grace secures the promises of God. And so the moment we take earning and deserving out of our trusting and believing God, That is when the promises of God are fulfilled in our lives. Can I hear a good amen from somebody? Praise God. See, that's the heart of God. Praise God, praise God. But I trusted that encouraged you. I trusted that motivated you, that reignited that faith, that belief, that confidence in God. Amen. Because let's face it, in the economy we're in the way things have gone and the way things are going in our world and in our country today, we need to see the blessing of God more. We need to see those promises fulfilled more. But it begins with us putting our trust and confidence in the nature of God, the graceful nature of God. Amen. We need to put confidence in the grace of God because that secures the promises. Amen. See, the moment you feel that you've got to earn and deserve, you're taking yourself out of grace. God didn't make those promises as a result of a reward towards Abraham, because that's no longer a promise. That's no longer grace. That's pay time. That's payback. Amen. And God doesn't have anything to pay us for, but He certainly wants to bless us because He loves us. And that's His heart for you and me today. Praise God.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.